Mendelssohn wasn't a Reformed Jew. He wasn't a liberal Jew. He wasn't a Jew that had broken with tradition. He basically was a Jew that believed wholeheartedly with a full 100% commitment to the observance of all Jewish law. He was, and to use the word, I use it advisedly here, an Orthodox Jew. That is, a Jew that believed that the tradition of Judaism, the 613 mitzvot commandments, were indeed binding on every individual Jew. How could that person be at the same time a philosopher? How is it possible to live in these two worlds? How is it possible to reconcile these worlds? Had not Spinoza shown us that it was completely impossible? That ultimately, to be an open, liberal, thinking individual was in contradiction with being a traditional observer of commandments, living within a Jewish traditional lifestyle. Mendelssohn, having been forced to confront this publicly by a group of intellectuals that challenged his Jewish identity, finally decided to answer in print. And the result was a work which he called Jerusalem. What I would like to do in our remaining time, therefore, is to consider this book and his response, not only to the contemporaries that lived in his midst, but also as a response to Spinoza. There are two parts to the book, Jerusalem. The first part argues for the separation of church and state and for the political rights of Jews. Following Locke, this part of the argument was critical for Mendelssohn in arguing that Jews have the right to practice their religion freely as full citizens of the state. If you read this work, you will feel that you are in the world of Locke. There is nothing unusual about the work. Perhaps Mendelssohn even argues more dramatically for the separation of church and state. He clearly has in mind not the traditional Jewish community where the rabbis could enforce their power, but perhaps a community of Sephardic Jews, of assimilated Jews that lived in Bordeaux in France, where already the Jewish community had been pushed aside. To be a Jew was to follow one's own individual conscience. No institution, no authority, no rabbi could tell you what to do. Indeed, you must observe the law, but you must observe the law because you are inner compelled to observe the law, not because some outside authority is imposing its will upon you. And thus, the first part of the text sets up the notion, it is dealing with the issue of the political rights of Jews. It is a political work. It is arguing that we Jews, as we live now, are second-class citizens. Give us political rights, we are entitled to them, because the notion of the separation of church and state entitles us to those rights. It is a contradiction in terms to speak about a liberal state and to allow the Jews to live as they are living. But the second half of Jerusalem deals with the subject at hand. Mendelssohn here is now obliged for the first time to present his own definition of what it means to be a Jew and how this can be consistent with the philosophies of the Enlightenment. For Mendelssohn, there are three parts, three entities that constitute the Jewish faith. Let us define them each carefully and see how they are to be placed. Number one, eternal truths or verities based on reason, not on revelation, and synonymous with those eternal truths articulated as the basis of the universal religion by Spinoza and later by a group of thinkers within the Christian tradition who had argued for a rational Christianity, which they call deism. In other words, the first part of Judaism are eternal truths, like honor your father and mother, don't kill, don't steal, the Ten Commandments, which are based not upon revelation, not upon what God gave on Sinai, but on your mind. We arrive at their truth by utilizing our mind. Notice that that is the first layer, the first entity, which defines Judaism for Mendelssohn. But there are two more parts. Part two, historical truths. First, eternal truths of reason. Second, historical truths. Essentially found in the biblical narrative itself, describing the ancient history of the Israelites and its reception of divine law at Sinai, the Exodus from Egypt, and so on and so forth.